Okay, we're going to a promise from God to awaken you, I pray, to the righteousness of who you are in Christ. And the byproduct. A few months ago, I gave you guys a lesson on righteousness. And I went through the scriptures, and we gave you quite a bit of material. And declaring that you are righteous by faith, it's not something that you become because you acted well, or that you did all kinds of homework, or that you jumped up and down 30 times, or fasted a couple of months. It's not it. Okay? So, there is a crown of righteousness that you need to taste a little bit about. And this book was written many years ago. In fact, probably the early 1900s. And it's been a real gift to me from years back, and I just want to quote some of the scriptures from it so that you'll get a better picture of what righteousness is. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4:8, the crown of righteousness. So it should be interesting that there was a crown, right? Are you ready for a crown of righteousness? Yes. It'll match your gown, you know, and your slippers. Okay, ready? Righteousness means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of inferiority or sin consciousness. You better say ouch, because that's a hard one to swallow. Try it on. Say righteousness means my ability to stand in the Father's presence without a sense of inferiority. Or sin consciousness. Meaning I'm not guilty of any sin because he took care of it on the tree. He paid the price for you and me. Amen? Watch now. It is to be the crown of the believer's life. It is the crown of the believer's life. I have been greatly exercised of late about this fact of our acting the part of a righteous man. So God was saying, you're going to have to start acting what you're speaking. You can declare I'm righteous by faith, but that's just words. It's like decorations on a Christmas tree. It doesn't turn me on. But if I'm lit up on the inside full of life, I will be the Christmas tree. Am I making any sense to you? See, you can talk about all these things that God has promised us, and you can declare it till the cows come home. It doesn't change anything until you believe it. And until you act like it. Gail said to me last week, the devil's not going to steal my money anymore. And she stood her ground and she said, no way is that, you know, they're trying to settle for $1,000 less. And I was proud of her. She just was going to stand here and be bold. Now, how many of you walk into the Father's presence with boldness because you know you are clean and you are holy in him? And because of what Jesus did for you. Not as an act of pride and arrogance. There's a difference. In 1 John 2:29, so you better write that one down. 1 John 2:29. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, through John, tells us about doing righteousness. Doing righteousness. That means doing the work of a man who has no sense of guilt or fear of God or fear of disease or fear of circumstances, or fear of man. That's enough to drive you right into the heavenlies. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to put your hand over your heart. Say, 1 John 2:29. Says, by the Spirit of the Father, that doing righteousness is going before my Father, God, with no sense of guilt, and no sense of fear.
No sense of fear of disease,
or circumstances,
or any kind of fear of men.
And that includes women.
And that includes women.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, how many felt that was foreign? If you felt it was foreign coming out of your mouth, put your hand up right now. You know why? Because we were not taught. We were taught guilt, condemnation, self-condemnation, fear of everybody, and it caused all kinds of ripples in the wrong direction. Got it? Doing the work of a righteous man would mean a fearless life of intercession. A fearless testimony of the grace of God, a fearless walk in the presence of the world, and a fearless fellowship with the Father. Got it? That should light up some of your candles. It is using our righteousness as Jesus used it. Isn't that cool? By the way, whose spirit is living inside of you? Jesus. It's the spirit of Jesus that's living inside of you. So it can be done by you. I know this is a new thought, but it is a suggestive one. And the very theme of the book of Romans is the showing of God's ability to set a man right with him. There's a misprint here. To declare him righteous. I finally figured it out. And to make him righteous so that he can stand in the Father's presence without a sense of guilt. Isn't that cool? His triumphant shout. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Anybody know the scripture? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Romans 8:1.
If you know that you are not going to condemn yourself anymore, and you know it from your heart, you can stand before Father and declare you are righteous. Mm-hmm. Okay? He asked this question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? That's the end of Romans 8. God did not fail in his redemptive work. Jesus did not fail. The Spirit has not failed in his work. The Word has not failed to make good in every case where it has been used. Let us begin at the basis of it. Isaiah 32:17. Isaiah 32:17 is a prophetic statement in regards to righteousness. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. It is the peace of God which passes all understanding. It fills the heart the moment we become new creations. When did you become new creations? The minute you said yes to Jesus to be Lord of your life. The moment we receive eternal life, that moment we become the righteousness of God. It's not something you did by scrubbing yourself clean. Ajax doesn't work that way. We are made out of righteousness. We are made out of righteousness and holiness of truth. Ephesians 4:24. And the effects of righteousness, here's the fruit of it. Quietness, confidence, forever. The fruit of righteousness are quietness and confidence forever. Just the moment we are justified or made righteous in Christ, that moment quietness comes and confidence fills our hearts. The rest of God, the peace of God, the quietness of God fills our spirit. Now we go a little deeper. Isaiah 62 throws added light on God's purpose in redemption. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her righteousness go forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. He is not going to hold his peace until the hour comes when man can be righteousness of God in Christ, in the anointing. That's why I'm changing the words there so that you'll get it. That righteousness is going forth as brightness and her salvation, the new creation, as a lamp that burneth. How true that was on the day of Pentecost. Romans 3:26, marginal translation. That he might himself be righteous, and the righteousness of him that hath faith in Jesus. So you're not having faith in yourself and in your good works, but you're having faith in what Jesus did for you. We have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Next verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 has become a reality. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf. Try it on for size. Him who knew no sin,
he became sin
on my behalf.
That I might become
the righteousness of God,
in him.
Jesus was made sin with our sins. See the transition? He was made weak with our weaknesses. He was made a failure with our failures. He was made sick with our sicknesses. He was made unrighteous with our unrighteousness. That's pretty cool. See, and we've been working all these years trying to scrub ourselves clean, making ourselves acceptable so that I might be able to go, Papa, would you please bless my family? What a bunch of yo-yos. Well, I'm being honest. See, if you come from him and you've already been cleansed by his blood, you can say, you know what, Pop? I want to sit down and have a little conversation. You know, we need a blessing this week. Things have been tough, and we need help financially. Table's kind of bare. Cupboard's getting, you know, the mice have got nothing to eat. Are you catching on? Talk to him like a child that belongs to him, not that belongs to the neighborhood and never has any attention. He's given you all he has available. Okay? After he put all that away, satisfied every claim of justice, was made alive, made righteous in spirit, then by the new birth, he made us the righteousness of God in him. We stand before God as his own righteousness. So we are actually relating what he's already given to us. It's a circle. We are created in Christ Jesus. It is all of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. How it thrills the heart to think that it is not of man. Man had no glory in it. It is all of God. It is the grace of God unveiled. It is the love of God mightily exercised to set us right with himself. How we can understand 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Look at the bonuses. All because we accepted him. All of this is from God. All of it belongs to us. He that glorified, let him glory in the Lord. God is satisfied with what he did in the new creation as he was satisfied with what he did in the first creation.
He is not ashamed to be called our Father. Jesus is not ashamed to be called our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer and our righteousness. They are not ashamed of what we have done. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. 33rd verse, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Look at your neighbor. Say, there's nobody. That's going to lay guilt on me. Because my papa set me free. And my brother paid the price. Because I'm the elect. Who elected you? God did. There is only one person in the universe that can bring a charge against us, and that is Jesus. Jesus will not bring a charge against us because it was he who died for us. How he ever lives to make intercession for us at the Father's right hand. Who created us? God did. Who gave us eternal life? God did. Who made us sons and daughters of God? Try it on. God did. It is all of God. We accept it in the Beloved, and the Father rejoices over it. We are his own children, sons and daughters, righteous by faith, and can declare it boldly, and can get anything we want that we really need. He may not deliver right away because you might have some growing up to do. Amen. But that's okay. Growing up is part of the deal. Amen? Would you do me a favor? Would you raise your right hand and close your eyes? Say, Father, I want these words in my heart.
Father, I want these words in my heart.
I'd like the emotions to match the truth.
I'd like the emotions to match the truth.
Of what Romans 8 is telling me.
Of what Romans 8 is telling me.
I am righteous.
By faith.
I've been washed in the blood.
Set
free from condemnation.
Set free from condemnation.
And no more will I take on guilt. Especially when Jesus took care of the whole bill.
He even left extra money in the bank.
So I can cash the next check.
Without hesitation.
I give you praise, Lord.
I give you praise,
that I am righteous.
That I can stand
in your presence.
Without any shame,
without any self-condemnation, because my Jesus set me free.
And
I'm telling you,
and I'm telling myself,
we are righteous.
Bottom line,
no more guilt. We're totally free.
Paid by the blood
of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what righteousness means.